the folks in South Korea embraced the fact that chloroquine was having some efficacy and seeing positive changes in their patient populations, the numbers between the ones where you know they're using chloroquine and versus the ones where you know they're not using chloroquine, there's a vast difference.
They should have been an active part of the research when it was being done. They should have been in communication with South Korea and figured out why their numbers were low. We're considered the most advanced country on the planet Earth, and yet we're so far behind the eight ball. We're behind behind countries that still walk around barefooted, and they're testing and doing more for their people than we are.
This article right here that was published just recently, it's in antiviral research by Coutard and published in 2020. I'm surprised they let this one get published, because that's the smoking gun to say that it is a bioweapon. The people of this country will rise up and take care of their friends, their neighbors, or colleagues in their communities, and that response is going to drive the bus to a faster heel than if we sit back like sheep and watch them drive the bus into the side of the building.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense, and for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high-quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Li stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Max and Dr. Joe coming back. This is an important show. We're going to talk about the malaria drug that can cure coronavirus. I'm not going to say 100%, but 99.9%. I had this article on this malaria drug 2 days ago, and we worked to get the frequencies from Sherry, and I published it last night, and I published it right after the doctor from Stanford came on to Tucker Carlson to talk about this drug. And I was surprised actually when the mainstream media covered it, and that it was great. If I cover it, you know, nobody really cares. But if mainstream media covers it, suddenly it's blessed. And then so Trump came on this morning and said they're seriously looking at this. And I got to tell you, the numbers in South Korea, the reason they look like that is because they've been using this drug. And I have Dr. Joe and Max to come and talk about what this is, why it works, how effective it is, why they're using it, and what other things that we can do. And then we talk about a few more items to go along with that. And I also talk about the fact that people need to start realizing that the mainstream media is a little far behind the eight ball in general. We started talking about all these things back in end of January. Dr. Joe was the first one coming on the show talking about it being a bioweapon. And then I had a hit job back then from a major newspaper. I'm not going to say who it was. Even though everything that I'm talking about back then is what they're talking about now. So you got to realize that these they're just, I mean, there's other sources of information, and the mainstream media is not your friend in a lot of ways. And I'm hoping that people realize this. And I realize that there is two extremes when it comes to this virus, and we discuss that as well, and we dive into that and what's really going on. I think it should be enlightening for everybody, this episode, and looking at the science. I want to stay away from conspiracy theory and get into the science and the facts on the ground as much as possible, because in this day of disinformation, it is so hard to know what's really going on. I want to tell you, I did publish the study on this malaria drug on my Patreon. I did that last night. So those of you that are my patrons get notifications not only of my shows, but I do extra research that I publish up there. I am going to publish that study along with this show on my website once this goes live. So you'll be able to get that there as well. So let's get into this really important interview with Max and Dr. Joe. Max and Dr. Joe, thank you so much for rejoining the program.
Thank you for having us.
Always a pleasure to come back, Sarah.
We have a lot to talk about today. There's a malaria drug. We got the article. Max, you sent me that article. I think you sent it to a lot of people a couple days ago. And Stanford published it on the 13th. And I gave it to Sherry, and she came up with the frequencies and so forth. And I published it last night to all my social media and my Patreon and so forth. But right after Tucker Carlson published it, except I added the frequency and the real study and everything else, we had it way before the media came out with it, essentially. Why do you think they sat on it, one, and why do you think they actually came out with it? I was surprised that they came out with it this morning, the malaria drug that seems like it's going to work. So can you talk about that a little bit? One of you.
Max?
You
want wake up, Max. Talk about the order of operations there, why we sat on, or why they think they sat on it, and what you think that means.
Well, I found it a couple of days ago, and shared it with some people, staff members that may be directly involved with John Hopkins group. And I think they vented it. I think they wanted to verify that it really existed. And
that's
why
fair.
They didn't. I would be my assumption. That's the feedback I got from one of the doctors.
And it could very well be the fact that it's a little more complicated than what meets the eye, since it appears that chloroquine, the malaria drug, is the actual thing that's treating coronavirus, when in essence, it's really the malaria drug acting as a zinc ionophore, opening the channels for zinc to get in, and zinc to inhibit that one particular enzyme, which creates the replication of the viral genome.
Okay, so, but we know it works, right? We know that this,
because
Stanford came on last night on Tucker and said it worked 100%. And I know before we got on, you kind of laughed and said nothing works 100%. But, meaning it's very effective. But one thing that you were saying is, when you're looking at numbers across countries, you were saying, Dr. Joel, that South Korea is using it, and that's why they have so few numbers. They have nobody in severe condition. Can you talk about that?
I can. The article that Max sent out was comparing the numbers in South Korea specifically to the numbers in Italy. And what happened was the folks in South Korea embraced the fact that chloroquine was having some efficacy and seeing positive changes in their patient populations. And those positive changes were, they were seeing decreased fever, they were seeing improved CT lung images, and they were seeing more negative viral tests. And on top of this, they were seeing no serious adverse effects in the patient populations that they were giving the chloroquine to. So the stark difference between the very good projected numbers in South Korea, where there's been a lot of testing, to what's going on in Italy, where you're seeing a lot of elderly population and a lot of people that are just, it's them against the virus, and there's very little medical intervention. And you see the stark difference in the numbers, where South Korea has a lot better numbers and Italy's are getting worse.
Do you think that China I mean, people are really confused what's going on in China. Do you think China is actually using this as well? Or do you think they're just hiding their numbers? Because it doesn't make sense for where their charts are going unless they're doing something like this.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, the numbers between the ones where you know they're using chloroquine and versus the ones where you know they're not using chloroquine, there's a vast difference in the health of the population and the speed of recovery and the the expunging of the viral load from the bodies. They're coming back negative on the serial testing, and that just goes to show you that what they're doing is working. And what they're doing is they're putting chloroquine into the regimen along with several other of the HIV protease inhibitors. So they're going after the viral replication, and they're going after to decrease the virus's ability to combine with the host.
Now, would the malaria drug by itself work, or does the HIV inhibitors need to be added?
It's like two different points of attack. So both of them would work somewhat on their own. Together, they're going to work synergistically because you're getting the virus more surrounded from different mechanisms of action. So it's actually a very common therapeutic approach to hit a problem from several different angles. But in previous shows, Sarah, we've talked about vaccines and why they're difficult to develop and all of the various targets where you can develop drug therapies to treat a virus, a bacteria, or whatever it is. And in this case, you're going after proteases, and you're also going after its replicase, the RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, which specifically works to replicate that viral genome for this particular virus. And the chloroquine is what opens the channels for just the zinc, which is in the microenvironment, and you can supplement that level. The zinc comes through that channel, is available in the cytosol of the cell, and inhibits that replicase enzyme. And it's the replicase enzyme which is hijacked by the virus to create the replicated viral material. So yes, both of them would work individually, but they work a lot better when given in a cocktail together.
Well, one thing that Trump said today in his news conference, this is Thursday, the 19th, is that he thinks it's going to work, but he's not sure. Why would there be any kind of hesitation on his part? What could you see from your experience that it might not work? Is there even a chance it wouldn't work?
Well, there's always a chance. Like I said, when someone says that something works 100% of the time, every single time it works, well, everything can be thrown into the normal distribution. And so 80% of your population is within one standard deviation of the mean. And when you're talking about the people in the top of that bell curve, we're talking about the outliers, people 2 standard deviations away from the mean, people 3 standard deviations away from the mean. And when you have to treat that size of a population, you're ultimately going to run into somebody where it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, that's where Trump is probably being optimistically pessimistic and saying, yeah, we think it's going to work pretty well, but let's not say it's the magic bullet and it's secure for everybody, because then when, 3 people out of a million aren't hurt, then someone's going to bust my chops on that. There's probably some of that going on too. But the fact of the matter is drugs don't work 100% of the time.
Or they decide to put out a different bioweapon or something crazy. I mean, this world is going nuts. Okay, I got to ask you guys, because, and I want both of your opinions, there are the extremes of the world saying the world's going to end, and then we have the other extreme saying this is complete hoax. And from my perspective, I think this is a real virus that is causing major damage and lung damage on people. And it's pretty scary, fast organ failure. But yet we have some solutions, and they know that. And so I think this was kind of created. It's like almost like Las Vegas, where it was a real event. people really died, but they're using it for another purpose. And I know you're scientists, but I want to know what your thoughts are on the extremes of this situation.
Go ahead, Max. You can be first.
I can be the extremist on this. With that being said, you know, we got the research several days ago, like I said. They're government entities. They should have had this research. They should have been an active part of the research when it was being done. They should have been in communication with South Korea and figured out why their numbers were low. We shouldn't have publicly made claims by officials in charge that it only lasts 3 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes on surface areas. It'll magically go away in 3 or 4 days. I mean, we got caught with our pants down. And whether they did it purposely, that's for the conspiracy theorists to chew on. There's a strong possibility, you know, we're considered the most advanced country on the planet Earth, and yet we're so far behind the eight ball. We're behind behind countries that still walk around barefooted, and they're testing and doing more for their people than we are. So with that being said, it's a strange accumulation of facts that you really can pick the dark side or the light side, and they both have value points. It's just depend on how far you want to drift from the line.
Well, and I have problems with in general, because we were way ahead of the curve talking about it. We were digging into what was going on in China. I had both of you on. I think my show with Dr. Joe was one of the first ones out there talking about it being a bioweapon, and then it was being confirmed all over. Now they're even talking about it. President Trump's talking about bioweapon in his his press conferences. Everything we talked about has been talked about a month later by mainstream media, but yet they did a hit piece on me saying that I was full of crap. And I'm not even going to repeat the newspaper that did it, because they don't deserve any publicity. But everything we did is coming out as being true. So why are we so bad that way? I mean, we had China shutting down. I mean, it's real news. Why would they hide that? Why would they choose not to cover that? And
because it fits the agenda. And I first have to say, Max, that was one of the best non-answers I've ever heard you give. You didn't commit to anything. Well, let me give you a couple tidbits, Sarah. This article right here that was published just recently, it's in antiviral research by Coutard and published in 2020. I'm surprised they let this one get published, because that's the smoking gun to say that it is a bioweapon. And it talks about a short section of nucleotides that's in this virus that isn't in any of the other historical naturally occurring coronaviruses, and it's that short segment which boosts the efficiency of spread from human to human, from like any other normal virus to what we've seen in this virus. And they make the claim in this paper that virus has only been determined and seen and manipulated experimentally. It's very subtle in the paper, but I caught it and I told Max about it. I sent him the article and I said, this is the proof that this is it's a manipulated virus, and people know about this virus. And they made it very eloquent to also come from bats or snakes and then bats, or, you know, whatever the agenda wants to cover. But the bottom line is that it is a manipulated virus because of those few nucleotides that only exist in laboratory versions of this virus. And if I haven't sent you that paper, I will send you that paper. And so there's that. But I also think that in all good governmental relations, you never waste a crisis. So the not wasting this crisis is, let's wait and see what develops and not tell anybody what's really going on, so that we have maximum potential for spin. So they can manipulate it however they want from the origin and out and beyond. And then the fact that what Max calls the most advanced nation in the world, which we're supposed to be, I don't think we are, not testing anybody, the fact that we didn't test anybody really skews everything that's coming out of the United States. And that means that none of our numbers are believable or comparable to anything else in the world. The other side of that spectrum is South Korea, where they tested everybody multiple times, or nearly. They had the resources, they had the wherewithal, the power, and that's the way they chose to deal with that virus as it's coming out. And now, I think, with the social distancing, quarantining, shutting down basic venues, and trying to flatten the curve, as the popular saying is right now, I agree with some of it. I got major problems with a lot of it. And like the risk populations are 60 and over, especially 70 and over, and those with pre-existing conditions. How many 70-year-old fans do you see at March Madness basketball games? Those are all college kids. And I guarantee you, if one college kid has a virus on that campus, a lot of the percentage of the rest of those college kids are going to get that virus. If you need backup to that, just check the Student Health Service and sexually transmitted diseases. The model is there. Those viruses go.
Well, so why do you have a problem then with them shutting down all the social activities for young people if that virus is going to spread fast and wide amongst the young people?
Well, every virus does. And the fact of the matter is, you can control that by telling those young people, don't go see your grandparents for 6 months. Not stay at home and don't go to your basketball game. Don't go to your college graduation commencement ceremony. Don't go to college classes. I mean, I think that is complete 100% political manipulation. I think it's a trial run to see how the general public would react when the government comes in and steps on you and tries to create total control of your lifestyle. That's what I think it is.
Well, especially if they know that there's alternatives to dealing with this. And I mean, again, it gets back to my point before we started that God themselves could announce something on my show and it could be so obvious and so much truth and they wouldn't take it because it came from my show, versus somebody can go on some other mainstream media channel, say an obvious falsehood, and they follow it. And I think that that's the kind of situation we are in when it comes to alternative stuff. When this came out last night, the malaria drug on Fox News, on Tucker, I don't think they had a choice. And it came out by Stanford, and then everyone was talking about it. The point is that more people need to listen to shows like mine, listen to other voices, and realize the mainstream media is not telling you the truth on so many cases. And they need to get behind it and help to get involved in their government. Because when everybody gets involved and demands it, they cave.
Exactly. And that's the facade that they're trying to push down everybody's throat. And you can see some pillars of resistance starting. One of the main ones is a celebrity with his stage is Kid Rock. His restaurant. He said, no, I'm not closing. You guys come here and eat. That's bull. And you know, you see other pillars in various independent journalist sites like yourselves that is questioning the why, the wherewithal. And it's, I know the infectivity of this virus and I know the benefits of staying away, but you know, controlled activities versus totally controlled activities are two different things, Sarah. And right now they're doing a trial run on totally controlled activities. And the fact of the matter that they have the therapeutic approach that actually has benefits, that means that it's not a vaccine. It's not something that where you have to get in front of the pandemic. This is something that actually decreases viral replication and viral load in the body. So, you know, you have the chloroquine when it opens the pores for the zinc to get into the molecule. The zinc is the one that inhibits that polymerase, which is the protein designed to replicate that virus. So, I mean, That's an elegant solution to a very infectious problem. And the fact of the matter is that's easily ramped up to treat whatever the demand might be.
It's expensive, right?
I don't know what the cost is.
It's inexpensive. It is. So are there long-term effects with this? I mean, it's been used. It was used in Vietnam to treat malaria. They have so much.
Yes.
They know if there's long-term effects. So is there any long-term effects?
Right. I don't think there are. The fact of the matter is chloroquine, and I got this from talking to somebody who used chloroquine prophylactically. That means to avoid getting malaria. They take it when they're going to the jungle or places endemic. And the people that I talked to that used it in that manner have shared with me the fact that chloroquine can cause hallucinations in some. So that's not a long-term effect. That's just it's a right time, right here, right now. And so you're walking through the jungle and you're seeing pink elephants and purple dinosaurs, but it's still better than the coronavirus or malaria, because these infectious diseases will kill you. Whereas, you know, the pink elephants and purple dinosaurs, they'll just scare the bejesus out of you, but they're not going to kill you.
Well, as Max said before we got on, they pop it like candy. Maybe that's why, because they saw the pink elephants.
Exactly.
And they loved it. But now, is it like is it like acid, where it can come back and it stays in your system?
I've never heard of that. I heard that it's a hallucinogen when you're taking it prophylactically. So what that tells me is, if you have something that this drug needs to chew on, say, for instance, malaria or coronavirus, then that side effect isn't going to be there. That side effect is because you have a bucket of this drug waiting around to do something. It's kind of like teenagers that don't have school to go to. They're going to find trouble.
Yeah, if you don't get a boy into sports, you're going to have some problems.
Well, you know, when the British colonial went into India, they used quinine, which is a derivative or the early stage that made tonic water, and then they added gin to it, obviously, but it was used for malaria treatment back in 1858. So yep. This is a spin on that exact product from way back when.
Well, okay, well, let's talk about that then. That's after you get it, right? So, but we also know there's preventative measures. We know that building your immunities is preventative. We never talk. The WHO is talking about, and the CDC, wash your hands, and they're telling everybody how to wash their hands and social distance, and then they say good luck. You know, wash your hands. It makes me angry when they don't talk about building your immunities. The ethical and the intellectually honest doctors are all telling people to build up your immunities, but they are not, which just makes me angry. We know there's preventative measures, and I know people are going to roll their eyes if we talk about C60 again, but I'm telling you, I can't talk about it enough, that it is a building your immunities preventative measure like no other. And so we have a full-blown solution here. I think frequencies is the medicine of the future, but we have things that people can accept mainstream right now. And can you talk about why C60 is so good for preventative? And I'm not making any money on the inhaler. And I know the money, you guys have brought it down to so close to cost, so we could just get it out there. Nobody's making any money. It's to, you know, for the older people in nursing homes and my parents and getting it in their lungs. Can you talk about this preventative measure? So now we have this full solution. Go ahead.
The preventative measure goes all the way back to how the molecule works. C60 is an antioxidant. C60 takes care of oxidative stress in your body. The oxidative stress comes from any number of sources. It's a side effect of breathing. Anybody who's breathing is generating active oxygen species in their body. So everybody has a basal layer of oxidative stress that they need to deal with. And then on top of that basal layer of oxidative stress comes the oxidative stress from other things. If you're on certain drug products, if you live in an area that's got horrible air quality, if you live in a building that's got horrible indoor air because of whether it's mold and ducts or the air exchanges aren't enough and you get build up of carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide or any number of these different things, all of these things which you can eat or breathe or drink can create more oxidative stress on the body. And what C60 does is C60 goes in there and it kills all of that oxidative stress. And when your body doesn't have to spend the $100 worth of things to fight that fire every single day because C60 is doing it, the body sees, I got full grocery bags of stuff to send to other problems in the body. And if your problem is that your immune system is weak, then some of that grocery bag stuff is going to go to bolster your immune system. It's going to go to give your body what it needs to function properly. And when your body has the right ingredients, it does what it's designed to do, which is heal. And you're going to see things like, you're going to see better liver function, you're going to see better eyesight, you're going to see better blood pressure, you're going to see better cardiac output, and you're going to see better functionality of your delayed and humoral immune system. Your T cells and B cells are going to work better, your macrophages are going to work better, and you're going to see what's going on with everything in that whole picture because you're taking care of the oxidative stress by C60. Now, when you add on black seed oil and curcumin, those are two natural products that have been known for centuries to be very beneficial and protective to various organs in your body. Look it up on PubMed. When you type in C60, black seed oil, and curcumin, there's over 28,000 hits immediately about those particular natural products. So what you get is you get the benefits of the natural products along with the oxidative stress suppression, and it gives your body what it needs to function. And that's the key to why we can fight these viruses, we can fight these bacteria, your blood pressure goes down, your insulin, the way your body deals with insulin goes, it gets reset and it's a lot better. That's why we see the functionality with the brain neurodegenerative diseases. And it's just the C60 eliminates oxidative stress and your body takes care of everything else that makes it so wonderful. That's why it's such a powerful product. And that's why it helps. And it's not a quack.
And that's why you can help get people off cocktails of other drugs. But let me ask you, is there any reason why a hospital would not, and I want to talk about the giant diffuser that you are, is there any reason why a hospital, he has it, that wouldn't want to put that in their hospitals and get that to everyone at once? Get it to the nursing homes, get it to everyone. Now, could there be an adverse effect? I know C60 people wouldn't have an adverse effect, but how about the other ingredients? Are there any?
Very little chance. The only way that there would be an issue is if you ran into somebody that somehow built an allergy to it. And you never know what you're allergic to until you get stung by the bee the first time, and the second time you're allergic to it. It's a sensitization reaction. And essentially, a sensitization reaction is your immune system setting you up to fail. And if your immune system has what it needs, maybe those are avoided as well.
So a hospital could realistically put this in their hospital. If somebody becomes allergic, maybe they can have another section that doesn't have it. But in general, 99.99% of the people would flourish with this, and the nursing homes,
correct,
the hospitals, the way better than what they got now.
And I like the way you avoided the 100% on that. That was very clever.
Well, you've taught me it's nothing's 100%.
Except death and taxes.
Yeah, well, although people might say that taxes, people are getting out of taxes and death, but okay. Well, I can't, you know, I've had to back off a little bit because I've been with my own chiropractor and everything, and I'm just like, and my sister, I'm like, you guys gotta look at, and I'm almost too forceful right now. And I'm like, okay, you can bring, you know, I have two sisters. One is really into it and the other one isn't. And it's just so hard because they're so indoctrinated and it's just so hard. And you can bring, my husband says, well, you can bring them to the, you know, a horse to drink. You can't force them to drink. And so I got to be a little less forceful because I'm now that I know, I'm just like, what? I just want to shake people because it's, and I went to a thing that was put on by Congress. They support Congress in the business section and they in the business world. It's an industry. I can't even remember the name of the conference. Oh my God, Sarah, I'm getting old. But anyways, I had it on. I spoke at it, and it was something I spoke at, and they talked about immunities. It was at Austin, University of Austin, great science and engineering school. And they were talking about building your immunities. They just started telling people, you know, they're trying to get this out there, but they have to do it so gently. And I'm like, why do we? It's kind of maybe the opportunity here for this crisis is to shake people and say, we can do a better job with medicine. We can do a better job with these procedures. You know, with what you're talking about now, and then B, getting into the medicine of the future when we're talking about frequency and, you know, prevention and frequency. And I got to do a documentary. I include all you guys and Sherry and maybe get to some of these MIT guys and talk about this frequency and how it works and what the math is behind it. Because it's driving me crazy now that I understand that your whole DNA has a different, like your proteins in the DNA, and it has a different frequency. So it's a mathematical matrix. Everyone's yes. DNA through you talking is a mathematical frequency, right? It's all the different parts. Now, if you have a frequency that doesn't belong there, if you have the coronavirus protein frequency that doesn't belong there, it shows. And that's how you know you have coronavirus.
That's correct.
And people just don't understand how it works. And I'm just going nuts because now I'm like, this is simple. Come on, people. But we have a huge educational process now that we have to go through to teach people what this really is, because whenever you do new paradigms that are huge changing deals, you got to go through the decades long process of educating everybody,
fighting tooth and nail the deniers.
Well, we got to go through an educational process so it becomes just obvious to people, and then maybe it can start changing. But oh my gosh, so what do you have to say?
Well, it's the,
go ahead.
It's like the inhaler, like you said. It's my 80-year-old mom and dad are still loving it. They're doing fine. My dad now refuses to put his supplemental oxygen on setting number 3 because he can almost get through the day on 2. It used to always have to be on 3, but now he's going with just 2. It irritates mom that he won't turn that up. But yeah, you know, it's dad. He's very prideful and he can do it. And you know, I think it's all because of C60. I really absolutely believe that.
Well, that's all. My dad, my mom and dad are taking it twice a day now. My dad's convinced he had coronavirus and got over it. I'm like, you did not. Yeah, I'm feeling great. And I was sick before.
You know, it's funny. I've talked to lots of people that are convinced they have coronavirus. And they say, well, you know, I got a cough and I got some runny nose and some sinus stuff. And the one very serious symptom that everybody that has coronavirus forgets about is the shortness of breath. Nobody has the shortness of breath. So I'm like, no, you got flu, you got cold, or you got allergies. No shortness of breath, no coronavirus.
Well, let's talk about that, because this thing is actually pretty serious. And that's where I get to, even if it is a false flag, which people are saying, whatever, it's a real false flag. You know what I mean? They really unleash something here. And it's pretty serious. So can you talk about what people are experiencing? One of you, talk about what people are experiencing with this, because it's pretty bad.
Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, I've got several doctors that have reached out to me that are using the diffuser as well as the C60 product. And one of the doctors is an actual frontline individual, and he said that the inside of his throat was like shards of glass for the first 3 or 4 days. He couldn't even drink water. And then he literally started to drown in his own mucus from the buildup in his lungs from the pneumonia. So it's like choking or drowning. And he said the early tests, they copied the South Koreans, was to take a deep breath and hold your breath comfortably for 10 seconds. And if you didn't have a dry cough or you didn't have an issue holding your breath for 10 seconds, there's probably a good chance that it wasn't the coronavirus. And he's 30 and he is slowly recovering. I sent him the information on the malaria drug, and he's going to write himself a prescription. He could care less what anybody else thinks. His next question to me was, I hope this isn't made in China. And I said, I have no idea. You know, he said, because then we're limited on product. So
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I haven't heard back from him. I hope he's recuperating and doing well. But I also have another doctor in California who has an active coronavirus patient. And I told him that in research, we saw that the coronavirus would die possibly with temperatures in excess of 135 degrees. So when you get in an infrared sauna or you do some things where the temperature is extreme, but your body can still compensate for it through normal process of sweating and you know, heat exchange. He is setting up an inhaler for his patient and is going to subject her to 145 degree air, and she's going to inhale it, and he's setting it up, and he's going to record virally on her samples and see if it has a direct kill effect. Maybe temperature, extreme temperature, and the combination of the malaria. But he started giving her the C60, and he's seen drastic changes in her. She wasn't using the C60 as a preventative aspect, and now that she's taking it, his direct texts to me were, "We're seeing she's going to live, and we're seeing drastic improvement. Do you have any other goodies in your bag of tricks?" And he ordered a diffuser for her, and I said, "Why don't you try the heat? That's the only thing other than the malaria drug that I have, you know, any info on."
The heat is something everybody can do. Most viruses in particular are heat liable. That means they're very fragile, and you just have to get the temperature high enough. You know, a lot of the rhinoviruses and common cold, it's just a few degrees over your body temperature, which is why when you run a fever that, you know, don't pop those drugs to kill that fever right away. Let your body take care of what's got it all ailed. But what they've learned is the coronavirus dies very nicely about 130 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you get into this the steam shower, you're going to get there. If your health club is closed down like every other place on the world right now, you can also get that heat if you do it carefully with your hair dryer. A common hair dryer, if you breathe the hot air into it, don't burn yourself and don't put it on your face. But if you breathe gently from your hair dryer, if you do as long as you can tolerate it, you're looking at maybe 5 minutes to do a heat treatment a couple times a day, you're going to kill any coronavirus that's in your body because it lives where it's cooler in your sinuses. And if you can heat that area up, you're going to give yourself a competitive advantage to get rid of more coronavirus and other viruses because they don't like heat. They go away.
Even the common cold. So if you subject, you know, if you did a thermal imagery of yourself and in an average person in an average environment, you know, your body's 98.6 and you're in a controlled environment that's 75 considered comfortable, then your sinus and your throat area is because of your exchange of air, that's the coolest part on your body or those areas. And so that's where the virus hangs out because of the cool atmosphere. So if you alter that atmosphere to an evasive temperature, the virus literally melts. It literally destroys itself.
You couple that with the amount of ACE2 receptors that are found in your nasal passages and mouth and throat, and you can understand part of the reason why this coronavirus goes so fast through the population. Right where it hangs out and likes to be, it's got those cellular gateways to get inside.
Well, isn't the heat, I would think the heat wouldn't be that, wouldn't work that great if you're really sick, because you wouldn't even be able to handle it probably for the 5 minutes that you're talking about. So it would probably be for somebody who's a little healthier to do it. Am I wrong?
Well, nobody likes to do anything when they're really sick, and it comes down to patient compliance, and you're absolutely right. Who wants to breathe hot air when they're already feeling like total crap? So it,
well, they're, especially elderly that right. are, I mean, I don't even know if they can get through it. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's an option, especially for younger ones. Go ahead.
But if it's an option to die or to discomfort yourself 5 minutes, two times a day, and I will share that information with you in email, Sarah, when I get it from the doctor.
Okay, I'd appreciate that a lot. Well, okay, well, let's talk about one last thing before we wrap this up. And where do you think we're going? Because I had a disaster avoidance expert on who thinks this is going to be a 3 to 5 year deal. And I was really not taking it. I do not, like, my kids are not going to be slaves for the rest of their lives. And I'm like, we got solutions and this is BS. But are we looking at something like this? Because there's reality of what they're going to try to do. And then there's us who are like, you guys are idiots. I mean, what do you think is going to actually happen? I mean, just because we want it. I already talked about if God themselves was on my program, it doesn't matter, you know?
Right. Do you want me to go first this time, Max, since I made you go first last time? I think that you're going to see the classic spread of the virus, and you're going to see a lot of people get infected, and you're going to see a typical 2 to 5% death rate in the entire population. I think the specific at-risk populations, if they are unfortunate enough to get sick when there's no medical facilities, they're going to die. If the curve is flattened and the very serious cases always have medical resources, we're going to see 2 to 5%. What I also see is that the virus is going to infect a lot of people. Some of them are going to become carriers. Some of them are going to become reservoirs. And it's going to become just like the SARS, the MERS, the Ebola, the Marburg, and any other virus that's out there. Once in a while, it can spring up its ugly head and create a panic again. But for the most part, people are going to be mostly worried about who's the mass singer instead of, do I have enough rice on my shelf to withstand 6 months of nothing being at the grocery store? And I think that some people will be forever changed. Some people will continue to prepare, and some people will embrace the, I don't think I believe what I'm seeing on TV. And some people will just be completely oblivious and need total 100%. Yeah, I used 100%. Somebody else to take care of them when things get poor. And I think the turnaround is going to be, I would say, probably through most of the summer and into the fall. But I think for the new normal life, I think things will resume, I would say, in this country, 10 to 12 weeks from now. That's my prediction.
What do you think, Max?
I think it could run a little bit longer and be a little bit harder on the system. We don't have any product. We don't have any coming from China. We don't have any factories open, and we're seeing other factories close. No product for shelves, no product to turn the wheels, to keep the wheels greased. We could have, how much money can they throw into the system to keep it afloat? You know, the money they threw in there the other day, every American could have $2.5 million in their bank account instead of airlines wallowing in their profit. I think I sent that out in a text to several of my close associates. You were one of them. I don't know. They're driving the boat. It depends on if they run it ashore or not. And is there an alternative plan behind that? Now you fall into that conspiracy theory thing. Wouldn't it be an excellent opportunity or time for another country to advance on us when we're in this area of total disarray? So I'm open to all.
Yeah, I think it could be bad if they listened to these solutions. We could get out of the medical situation pretty quickly. I mean, if they just get professional and listen to these solutions, we can get out of our medical problem very quickly. Then we still have a supply side problem no matter what, our global supply chain. And that is something that we could use as an opportunity to better and strengthen the United States by moving back critical items back to this country. And then, you know, let business do their thing. We don't want to take over business, but the critical items need to be in this country, and then allow business to still be free, because you don't want to mess with business. And that's what's going to take longer. But there is no reason why we can't come out stronger in this situation if they make the right decisions and good decisions now.
And that goes back to Max's point about what's the real agenda and who's driving the bus.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's kind of, we kind of have to sit back and wait and see how much stupidity and BS comes out.
If I had to bet, I would bet on the ingenuity of the general American public over the oppressive capacity of any governmental intervention. And that's what I base it on, is that the people of this country will rise up and take care of their friends, their neighbors, or colleagues in their communities. And that response is going to drive the bus to a faster heel than if we sit back like sheep and watch them drive the bus into the side of the building.
I would agree with that. That's a good way to, well, let's talk about how they can get a hold of you guys. You guys are experts. You're awesome. You're great at what you do. How can they reach you and see more of you?
I am Dr. Joe Newsma. My website is superiortoxicology.com, and there's a contact form on that page. You can go right there, and that comes right to me, or it's drjoenewsma@gmail.com, and I try to answer them as fast as I can. You got to be patient sometimes.
And you run the Hope Project. Can you talk about that? Because that's really important.
Sure. The HOPE Project is a health optimization prescription evaluation, and it's aimed at people that are suffering polypharmacy. That means you're on more than one drug, and you may not know why you're even on those drugs anymore, because you've talked to several different physicians, none of which took the time to figure out what you were on before they added their one, two, or three drugs onto your profile. And I take the time to look at why you're on those drugs, how long you've been on those drugs, and if there's any benefit. And I produce a report filled with recommendations for you to bring back to your healthcare provider to get your life back, to get you back in control of your health and wellness. And we call that the HOPE program. It's also on my website, superiortoxicology.com.
Excellent. Okay, Max.
Live Longer Labs, c60complete.com. We're life extension researchers. There's a group, think tankers, ex-NASA, ex-JPL, intelligent group of guys that are just trying to make the world a better place.
Because of the top scientists in the world, and that's what I always tell people. And people who watch my show are starting to know you guys. So you almost don't have to introduce you, but I have to do it just in case they haven't seen many of my shows. But thank you so much for joining me again today. This is important information. I'm sure I'll have you back soon.
Happy to be back anytime.
Take care.